Welcome back, Draft Geeks, to the 16th episode of the NFL Draft Geek podcast. We are continuing our theme of going through the divisions, breaking down what they did in the 2015 NFL Draft. Today, we are going to look at the AFC West. Look at the four teams here, what they did, what we liked, what we didn't like, maybe some holes they have left over afterwards. Kyle, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Brian.
All right, let's get right into the Denver Broncos. They had 9 picks in this draft. In the first round, they traded up for Missouri defensive end Shane Ray. In the second round, they took Ty Sambrillo, an offensive tackle from Colorado State. Third round, they took Jeff Heirman, tight end from Ohio State. In the fourth round, they took Max Garcia, a center from Florida. Fifth round, they took Lorenzo Dotz, cornerback from Tulane. Sixth round, they took Darius Kilgo, a defensive tackle from Maryland. And then they had 3 seventh-round picks. They took Northwestern quarterback Trevor Siemian, Tulane cornerback Teron Nixon, and Oklahoma State linebacker Josh Furman. They moved up to get Shane Ray. Was that a pick that surprised you? Do you think that was a major need they had?
I mean, the pick didn't really surprise me too much. I guess I thought they would have been going for a tackle because, you know, their offensive line had some holes along it. But, I mean, Shane Ray is a dynamic player, and I thought it was a good selection. It's just kind of funny that, you know, has these marijuana problems and he goes to Denver, so.
Yeah, that joke was quite out there for quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting pick. They, you know, I think I mocked them an offensive tackle or defensive end. I can't remember off the top of my head right now. It didn't surprise me that they didn't go offensive tackle in the first round. Mainly Kubiak tends to want to go with mid-round guys and find gems for a scheme. It's interesting because they got Von Miller, they got the DeMarcus Ware. I think Ray gives them somebody a little bit different. Those guys are both better in space, where Ray I think is better maybe, you know, on the with his hand in the ground. So I think he's going to give him a good third rusher. Look, I think they can get by without him. Because, you know, Ray could miss the first couple weeks of the season or more with his foot issue. So I think they're looking that extra guy to provide a pass rush they really didn't have.
Yeah, and, you know, DeMarcus Ware is, you know, how old now? He's in his 30s, and he's had some neck problems. And then Von Miller, he's had a torn Achilles, a torn ACL. And he's had his own drug suspensions as well. So, you know, just a quick injury to either one of those guys, and that pass rush is no longer as relevant as what it would be. But now they got Shane Ray. So I think that also factored into their decision to draft him.
And Ray's a guy that I think on sub packages, they can have him rush from the interior, maybe line him up at a 3 technique and put Von Miller or DeMarcus Ware next to him, and then you're like, oh crap, we gotta block each of these guys one-on-one.
Yep.
So, second round, Sambrillo, I think that was a solid pick at the end of the second round. He was a guy that, you know, he's got some maybe issues with his functional strength, but to play right tackle, to play in this zone-heavy scheme, I think he's gonna be a good fit, and he's probably gonna be their starting right tackle from day one.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good pick, you know, because it was somewhat of a need it was a need selection for them. It was a big need. He wasn't the best player on the board, but he was the best tackle on the board. I think the offensive tackle went pretty quickly, so it wasn't a bad selection.
Yeah, you have to wonder if DJ Humphreys would have slid past the Cardinals, if that might have been their pick, but although I guess I say that and forget that they traded ahead of him to get Ray.
Yep.
So I think Sambrillo not only fits the scheme, I think his value in that area was on. So I like that pick. Moving on, third round, Jeff Heuermann, tight end from Ohio State. Kubiak likes to use tight ends in his scheme. They lost Julius Thomas. They do have a couple guys coming back. I can't think of the guy from Nevada.
Virgil Green.
They got him coming back. Heuermann is a guy that he's got some playmaking ability. He played last year hurt. Showed the ability to block. I think if he can get back to 100%, he could be a little bit of a sleeper in this draft.
Yeah, Heuermann was another guy that I worked with at IMG, and I like the selection a lot. Heuermann's a great guy. He's a tremendous locker room guy, you know. He was the captain of that Ohio State championship team this year. Tremendous weight room worker, great work ethic. I think he's going to succeed in the NFL. You know, he's a guy that just regardless of what he has athletically, he's just a hard worker and really dedicated to football. And I think he's going to actually have a great rookie season with Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I mean, Peyton loves to throw to his tight ends. Fourth round, Max Garcia, center from Florida. You know, Houston. Denver's a team that their starting center last year was Will Montgomery. They let him go. They signed with the Bears. I know they traded for was it Gino Gradkowski, who came over from Baltimore. Garcia's probably going to compete with him. Do you think Garcia's got the inside track to start, or?
You know, I don't know a whole lot about Garcia, but I have a feeling they felt pretty confident in Gradkowski as a starting center because they traded away Manny Ramirez to the Lions in order to move up, and Ramirez was a guy that had been a starting center for Denver, so, you know, maybe Garcia is going to push for the starting job, but I think they probably feel pretty confident with Gradkowski.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Florida had, what, three or four offensive linemen get drafted, and I wouldn't have said their offensive line was very good last year, so... kind of interesting there. I mean, but you could also blame a lot of that on Jeff Driskel and the inability at the skill position too. But let's move on. I really liked what they did in the fifth and sixth round. Lorenzo Doss was a guy that I liked, a sleeper. He led the nation in interceptions as a freshman, I believe. You know, press man corner. I think he could be a guy that develops eventually down the road into a good cornerback for him. They don't have really have a lot of depth. And then Darius Kilgo is a guy that I think is going to be their starting nose tackle in a year or so. You know, maybe he doesn't step in right away this year. They'll probably go with Sylvester Williams as their starting nose tackle in that one gap 3-4. But Kilgo is a guy that I saw as a 4-3 nose tackle. So I think he fits perfectly in this scheme.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of Lorenzo Doss. I think where they got him, though, was decent value. But Darius Kilgo was a guy I really liked. I probably placed a fourth-round grade on him. You know, he was a little bit kind of like awkward, I guess, you know, in his movements. And you could tell he hadn't really filled out his frame, or he hadn't really grown into his frame yet. Just an absolute huge guy. You watch him against Iowa, and he's almost unblockable. So he has those flashes, and I don't think he's a guy that has a hot and cold motor. I just think he hasn't reached his full potential yet, and I agree with you. I think he's going to be their starting nose tackle in a year or two.
Yeah. You know, I could definitely see him being an Earl Mitchell-type guy, you know, a guy that doesn't get a lot of praise, but he does his job right. He does it really well. Their seventh round, they had three picks. None of them really did much for me. Simeon, I don't know why you draft him. I thought he was terrible at Northwestern. I felt like when Kane Coulter left and he became the guy, I think he really struggled. He probably just benefited from being having Coulter there. I just don't understand why they would draft him, especially with Brock Osweiler as their future quarterback.
Yeah, I don't understand that pick at all. I think there were probably some other guys available, like Brandon Bridge, who was, you know, all the upside in the world. I don't see this pick at all. I don't understand it.
I mean, if they would have gone with the quarterback, I thought they would have gone with that Bonner kid from Colorado State Pueblo, local guy, more of a your traditional quarterback. I think he, you know, I would have rather took him in the seventh round, a guy with upside, than a guy like Simeon, who I think, who I don't see. I see him being a guy that's out of the league in 2 or 3 years.
Oh, definitely. I don't even know if he makes out of training camp, and I just don't see it.
How do you think Denver did overall?
They didn't do bad. I think they addressed needs, which is a good thing. You know, you want to see best player available, but it's also good to have to fill those holes, especially when Denver is. You know, they've made it clear if they don't win the Super Bowl this year, it's a failed season. So, I thought they did pretty good. You know, if you want to place a letter grade on, I'd say probably a flat B.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of, I think I originally put blah. I thought they got some solid guys. I just wasn't overly impressed. You know, they're a team that's a step away from the Super Bowl. You know, and their most impactful guy they're going to get is Shane Ray. You know, I would have liked to see him maybe address the offensive line a little bit more. You know, maybe gotten a pass rusher from like an interior type guy, maybe a safety. So who knows? Maybe they move Doss to safety, take advantage of those ball skills. I mean, who knows? But I wasn't overly impressed with what they did.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't spectacular, but I just thought it was solid.
Let's move on to the Kansas City Chiefs. They also had 9 picks in this draft. In the first round, they took Marcus Peters, cornerback from Washington. Second round, they took Mitch Morris, who was an offensive tackle at Missouri. Third round, they took Chris Conley, a wide receiver from Georgia. They also, in the third round, took Steven Nelson, a cornerback from Oregon State. Fourth round, they took Ray Wilson, an inside linebacker or outside linebacker from Georgia. In the fifth round, they took DJ Alexander, outside linebacker, defensive end from Oregon State, and James O'Shaughnessy, a tight end from Illinois State. Sixth round, they took Raheem Nunez Roches, defensive tackle from Southern Miss. And then in the seventh round, they took Deron Brown, a wide receiver from Northern Illinois. I know in the first round I correctly projected Marcus Peters. What did you think of that pick?
I thought it was a good selection. You and I have had our discussions about Peters and his issues, and you know, I think we did discuss as well how Andy Reid has been able to take some players with character concerns and, you know, keep them on the straight and narrow. So we'll see how that turns out, but you know, talent-wise, it's a good selection.
Yeah, I mean, I think he fits their scheme really well too. Reed's got a track record for taking guys like this and having success with them, so definitely a big area in need. Second round, they took Mitch Morris, kind of a surprising pick, mainly because you know he did pretty well in the pre-draft process. They drafted him with the intention of putting him at center, and I know when we talked about the Chiefs, what they could do in the first round, we talked about Cam Irving, and I mentioned I had a little tip from a radio host that I know that they really like Eric Kush. It looks like Mitch Morris could be that center of the future, or maybe even now.
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen much of Mitch Morris, but he really did, you know, the week leading up to the draft, he kind of, you know, had started to have his name circulated and around circles, and I even heard Louis Riddick mention him on Twitter and talk about how, you know, right now he's not ready to be, you know, this impactful center, but you know, he could end up being a guy like Cam Irving and being an elite center at some point. So, you know, if he turns out to be that type of player, then this is a great selection. Right now, though, I mean, I just don't know enough about the guy to really judge it.
In the third round, they took Chris Conley. I know he was one of those workout warriors at the combine. Is he more than that?
Absolutely. You know, when I was really frustrated when I was watching tape on Chris Conley, because he was open every single route. I mean, he just was uncoverable. They just didn't have enough speed or enough size to cover him. He was a pretty good route runner. You know, it wasn't great, but he was solid, had great body control. I mean, he had the makings of a first round pick, but they just never threw to him at Georgia, and his quarterback just kind of went to the check down a lot there, and he was just extremely underutilized, and I think he's going to be one hell of a receiver. The only issue is, look at who his quarterback is, and his master of the check down, Alex Smith.
Yeah, it should be interesting. Hudson Mason didn't have much of an arm strength, so, you know, that kind of maybe hurt them. Plus, you know, you got guys like Todd Gurley and Nick Chubb and Keith Marshall. You're not going to want to try and, you know, push the ball downfield too often. You're going to want to get the ball in those guys' hands as much as you can.
Yep.
You know, Steven Nelson's a guy that I liked out of Oregon State. More of a zone cornerback. I think he's a solid guy. I wouldn't be shocked if he got moved to safety. I'm not saying that he should be, but wouldn't shock me. They have a big need at safety, and they didn't take anybody in this draft. So, you know, maybe they look at him as being a possible free safety in the future. The guy that I really Raheem Nunez-Rochus is an interesting pick. I know I saw a couple people think that he's going to be a backup nose tackle. I think he fits perfectly with this scheme as a defensive end. He's a penetrator. He was on a horrible team at Southern Miss. A guy that I think he can, you know, they're another one-gap, 3-4 defense. And you put him maybe opposite of Alan Bailey and next to Dontari Poe, and he could be a guy that could penetrate, and especially on passing downs.
Yeah, you know, I don't know a whole lot about him. I don't think Draft Breakdown had any video on him that I was able to watch. But he really is, you know, just a guy that was on a – we've talked about this a lot, but a good player on a bad team, and you just really didn't get a chance to really see him stand out. But, you know, going back to Steven Nelson, I like that pick a lot too. I saw a stat that he was one of two corners to not miss a tackle this whole season, so that certainly speaks volumes. And I like the point you made about him possibly switching to safety. So that's interesting as well.
Yeah. Any take on Ramek Wilson?
Not a whole lot. I mean, they needed an inside linebacker. I'm not sure who was really drafted around that same time or ahead of him. But, you know, we'll see how he develops.
Yeah, he was a guy that, you know, Georgia played a 3-4 defense, and he played inside linebacker. He, to me, I almost, you know, I debated, is he an inside linebacker or is he a 3-4 outside linebacker? So it'll be interesting where he fits. I know they got their two really, you know, basically three pass rushers as their outside linebackers. So him being maybe a run and tackle type guy probably fits the scheme pretty well. Do you know much about De'Ron Brown? I know he's got really good hands. The wide receiver from Northern Illinois.
You know, I don't know much about him. I mean, I've heard a lot about his hands. That's about it.
Yeah. What did you think of the Chiefs draft overall?
I thought it was solid. I didn't think it was anything flashy. You know, they drafted two difference makers right off the bat. And depending on how this offense is run this year, having a guy like Jeremy Maclin and then, you know, adding Chris Conley to play opposite him, Conley could be an absolute stud if he gets the ball. So he might be my favorite pick of their entire draft.
Yeah, I mean, I like the Peters pick. I think Morris was a guy that maybe I thought he'd go in that third or fourth round. I think he's got a lot of upside. Steven Nelson's a guy that I but I liked a lot better than some of the cornerbacks that went higher than him. Conley's a guy that I'm like you. He's, you know, he gets that workout warrior type of you know, label, but he's a lot more than that. I think they got a steal in him. And then I really liked Nunez Roches. I think he's going to be a guy that could develop into a starter for their scheme. I thought they did pretty good. I liked it overall.
Yeah, I think they drafted a lot of good talent. I just don't think they really had that flash and appeal that some people like to see.
Yeah. Let's move on to the Raiders. They had 10 picks in this draft. In the first round, they took Amari Cooper, wide receiver from Alabama. Second round, they took Mario Edwards, a defensive end from Florida State. Third round, they took Clive Warford, a tight end from Miami. Fourth round, they took another Hurricane, John Feliciano. Fifth round, they took Ben Heaney, inside linebacker from Kansas, and Nieren Ball, an outside linebacker from Florida. Sixth round, they took Max Vallis, an inside linebacker, outside linebacker from Virginia. And then they had three picks in the seventh round. Anthony Morris, tackle from Tennessee State. Andre DuBois, a wide receiver kick returner from Florida. And then Dexter McDonald, a cornerback from Kansas. What did you think of, you know, we talked about Cooper quite a bit. You know, we both thought White was a better wide receiver prospect, but we didn't really fault the Raiders for taking Cooper. Am I off on that or?
No, you're 100% correct. I like the pick of Cooper. It's just if I was in Reggie McKenzie's shoes, I would have taken White, but I'm not going to knock him for taking the most productive receiver in college football last season.
Yeah. What did you think of Mario Edwards in the second round? What'd you think of it? Where do you think he eventually plays for the Raiders?
Well, you know, it's interesting. At first, when I saw the pick, I said, man, they passed on Preston Smith to get him. And I know Mario Edwards is just an absolute phenomenal athlete. But the reason I think they made this pick is because last year, or their current linebackers coach is Sal Cenceri, the former Florida State defensive coordinator. So he knows Mario Edwards better than anybody. And, you know, it really gives me kind of some reassurance with this pick and how confident they are in Edwards. So he played out of position last year at Florida State, and, you know, he played lighter than what he probably should be. I think he's probably a 3 technique in a 4-3 defense, and I think he's going to be a damn good one. But it depends. Is that where they're going to put him? I hope so.
Yeah, from the sounds of it, he doesn't want to play there. He wants to be a defensive end. It should be interesting. They have, like, C.J. Mosley there, if I'm not mistaken. A good base end. Yeah, I agree with you. He played out of position. They tried to – Florida State really didn't have a lot of good edge rushers. So he kind of got put in as that edge rusher. So he's playing, you know, he played as a 4-3. You know, they were 4-3 last year, so he was a defensive end. They stood him up at times. I think that really negated his effectiveness. I thought he was much better the year before when they played a 3-4, and he was a 5 technique, 3 technique that kind of slid back and forth. Yeah, it should be interesting. I like him best out of 3 technique. Put him next to Dan Williams, and you got a pretty good defensive tackle duo. But he's probably gonna be their base defensive end. Let's move on to the their third round pick, Clive Walford. Probably the consensus number 2 tight end in this class. You know, the Raiders were a team that really struggled on third down last year with Derek Carr. They go out and get Amari Cooper in the first round. He's going to be a big help there. And then I think Walford's another guy that's really going to be helping. You know, I like him as an all-around tight end, but he gives him that big body over the middle that I think is going to really help give him a little bit of a safety blanket.
Yeah, I agree. He's really good on in short yard situations, just a big body guy. He's a former basketball player, so he uses his body well to kind of shield the ball from, or shield defenders from making a play on the ball. He's able to absorb contact, make the catch. And, you know, actually what I think is going to be huge for the Raiders, though, is he's a really good blocker. And I think that's really going to help out the run game, and as they probably look to get Latavius Murray more involved this season.
Last year they got a steal in Gabe Jackson. I mentioned that in the last podcast with A.J. Cann. Do you think they got another steal in John Feliciano in the fourth round?
No.
That was pretty quick.
No, he's a pretty limited athlete. He's overweight. I don't know if he really loves football that much, to be honest. Doesn't really seem to have that tunnel vision for the game. So we'll see how it ends up. I think he's probably going to be a backup. I just don't see him starting.
I kind of like what they did in the fifth round, getting Ben Heaney, inside linebacker from Kansas. The inside linebacker position for the Raiders was such a big weakness the last several years. They had Nick Roach playing as their middle linebacker. He's a guy that should not be starting in the NFL. Heaney, you know, you had your top four inside linebackers, and then after that there was a big drop-off, but Heaney was that next guy, probably my fifth-rated guy. Not a big thumper, more of a coverage guy. I like him here in the fifth round.
Yeah, I mean, I like Heaney. And, you know, like you said, inside linebacker was a big need for the Raiders, even though they did go out and they brought in Curtis Lofton. I had Heaney as my seventh best inside linebacker, but the guy I would have gone with, who I think is similar to Heaney but better, is Mike Hall from Penn State. You know, I've seen people say that Heaney's going to be nothing more than a special teamer, which I don't completely agree with, but, you know, it's former scouts saying that, so it's a little concerning regarding the pick, but we'll see.
You know, kind of looking at what they did the rest of the draft, Max Vallis is a guy that probably should have stayed at Virginia another year. You know, he played in there as an outside linebacker in their 3-4. He'll probably, you know, some list him as an inside linebacker. I probably see him more of a strong side in that scheme. Probably a guy that's going to back up Khalil Mack. Did you get a chance to watch any of him?
Yeah, I did. I had him as my 17th best edge player. And I thought he was good. He was pretty raw. But I think he has the talent to eventually develop into something, just mainly situational, like you said. He's going to back up Khalil Mack. I think it's a good value, though, in the sixth round.
What did you think of the Raiders' overall draft? How did they do? Was this a did they continue on the strong draft that they had last year, or was this another Al Davis-type draft where the Raiders struck out?
I wouldn't say it was as strong as last year. I thought last year the Raiders may have had the best draft in the entire league, just extremely strong from top to bottom. This year, you know, you look at Amari Cooper, great pick, Mario Edwards, you know, we talked about him. He's a good pick. Clive Walford, good pick. But then it's pretty iffy. You know, Feliciano didn't like Heaney. Yeah, he was okay, but I thought they could have done better. And then Vallis was a good late round pick. It was pretty up and down, but I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. I liked the Cooper pick. I liked the Edwards. If they can get Edwards to motivate him, I think that's a good pick there. He's got top 20 talent if he puts it all together. I like what they did. I know you're not a big fan of Heaney. I liked what I saw in him. I don't think it was, you know, it's obviously not going to be as good as last year's class because you don't have a Khalil Mack and a Carr in here, but I think they're continuing their strong momentum of going forward. They're getting more and more respectable players, and they're building something there in Oakland.
Yeah, I mean, their offense is going to be so much improved this year.
Let's move on. Final team in this division, the San Diego Chargers. They had Only 5 picks in this draft. First round, they traded up and took Melvin Gordon, running back out of Wisconsin. Second round, they took Denzel Perryman, inside linebacker from Miami. Third round, they took Craig Mager, a cornerback from Texas State. Fifth round, they took Kyle Emanuel, a outside linebacker, defensive end from North Dakota State. And in the sixth round, they took Darius Filon, a defensive tackle from Arkansas. Kyle, you're well aware that I'm not a big fan of taking running backs in the first round unless you're a Todd Gurley or a Adrian Peterson or that type. What did you make of Melvin Gordon going in the first round and then them trading up to get him?
I think it was kind of desperation. I think the Chargers, their run game has just been so bad for so long after losing LaDainian Tomlinson, and Ryan Matthews didn't work out. Ryan Matthews, you know, left this offseason as well. They just realized they had to get a running back. And, you know, Melvin Gordon's a great talent, but I wouldn't have drafted him in the first round. Certainly wouldn't have drafted him in the top 15. Trading up, you know, they only traded up 2 slots, so it wasn't such a big deal. I still just did not I didn't love the move, but I see where they had to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I just look at this draft class, and if Gordon would have fell, I don't, you know, if they would have got Gordon where they're picking, you know, who did they jump to get him? I mean, they jumped.
Houston.
I didn't really see Houston taking a running back there, especially Gordon.
Houston had been all over Gordon and Gurley though in the pre-draft process.
I had heard of Gurley.
I understand the concern.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, but with this class, I think if they didn't get those two, they could have easily got one of the guys in the second round. But yeah, I'm not a Melvin Gordon fan. I don't see what a lot of people see in him. I don't think he's that much different than Amir Abdullah and Tevin Coleman him and Tevin Coleman are a lot closer than I think people think. You know, they're both guys that, you know, I mentioned this earlier. I think it's funny that, you know, Gordon forever was this big home run back, and now all of a sudden people are, you know, talking about him like he's this every down between the tackle runner, and I'm like, where did we go from here? So
yeah. Called the combine.
Yeah. Second round we have Denzel Perryman from Miami. I'm not necessarily knocking him as a player. It was just kind of an interesting pick here. Just because you look at their inside linebackers, they got Manti Te'o, who's a guy that's not great in coverage, and then you got Perryman, who's gonna play on third downs for them.
Yeah, it is pretty weird, you know. I just wanted to look up Donald Butler's contract situation really quick. Yeah, and you know he's not going anywhere anytime soon. I don't understand the pick of Perryman. I love Denzel Perryman. I had him as my number one inside linebacker. But the only thing I can really think of is, do you think the Chargers could be moving to the 4-3?
Well, if they move to the 4-3, who's going to be their – what do you think their linebackers are going to be?
I mean, it could be Perryman, Te'o, and Butler.
Well, who's going to –
I think Perryman
– Perryman at middle, Te'o at strong, and – Butler at week, or?
Yeah, I don't know. I know Perryman played, he's not built like a weak side linebacker right now, but he played weak side linebacker his first year at Miami. I don't know.
I don't see it. I mean, Pagano's a 3-4 guy. They took Kyle Emanuel in the fifth, who's a edge, he's an outside linebacker type guy,
true.
A 3-4. I mean, yeah.
I just can't make sense of the pick.
I don't, unless they're, you know, starting to think Te'o's not who they, you know, what they thought in the second round. I don't know. I mean, I don't either. Maybe they just want to get tough. Maybe, you know, it could have been they just felt like he was by far the best player on their board, but with only 5 picks, you know, you almost have to fill needs or go with super impactful players, and I don't know if Perryman fits either of those right there.
No.
So, you know, moving on, I really enjoyed their third round pick. Maybe it's because I am the standing president of the Craig Mager fan club. he's a guy that I thought, you know, getting there in the third round was a, you know, really good value. I probably had him as a second round pick grade wise, but you know, I think where he went was probably where he should have gone. I think he's going to be eventually, I think he'll be a starter in a year or two.
Yeah, well, if you're the president, I'm the CEO, because I'm a big Craig Magger fan. I had him as my fourth rated corner, and I had him probably about top, I think I had him in the top 40 or so for prospects. I really like the pick. I think this is the best pick of the Chargers draft, so he's probably gonna play something out of the slot this year, and then he's gonna be a starter next season, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Looking at the fifth round pick, Kyle Emanuel, you know, was a sack artist this past year at North Dakota State. He was conference defensive player, or he was the FCS College Defensive Player of the Year. You know, it doesn't get a lot of run being North Dakota State, even though they are 4-time national champion. Even when they played the Kansas States, the Iowa States, those Big Ten, Big 12 schools that they beat, you know, he had success against those schools too. I mean, he what did you think of him when you broke him down?
I liked him a lot, and I had him as my 12th rated edge rusher. It's kind of like he's not like you know, he's not one of these type Rainey Gregory types of athletes, but I think he has really good short area quickness and good burst. Very powerful. I like him a lot. I think he could, you know, contribute right away, and I think he's going to be a starter eventually.
Yeah, he's a guy. I mean, he's only he's younger than me, obviously younger than me. He's from the town he's originally from is right next to my hometown. So I remember seeing him play basketball in high school. So it's kind of cool seeing a guy like that make it drafted in the NFL. I think he's, you know, he fits the scheme perfectly. They need outside linebackers, especially someone to rush the passer. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people.
I agree.
Sixth round, they took Darius Filon. He's a guy that I liked. I rated him higher than a lot of defensive tackles that went ahead of him. Another guy that probably should have gone back to school. He's a, you know, a penetrator guy. I like him as a, you know, he's probably going to play defensive end in this system, but I thought he would have been a good 3 technique in a 4-3 also.
Yeah, I thought he would have been a great 3 technique. Really good off the ball. I like him a lot. And, you know, just kind of recapping the Chargers really quick, I think their last 3 picks were all home run selections. Great value.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, defensive end probably wasn't their biggest need, but they probably figured, hey, we need some, you know, this guy's too good of a value here sitting in the sixth round. He could be a guy that maybe comes and moves into a defensive tackle on pass rushing situations off the bench. Our lads, for some reason, has him listed as an outside linebacker, which is kind of interesting, but... yeah, I think, you know, that was tremendous value in the sixth round.
Yeah.
Overall, what did you think?
You know, they somewhat reached for Gordon. I understand they needed to take him. Perriman, that pick just makes no sense. As good of a player as he is, and as much as I love him as a prospect, doesn't make any sense at all. But then their last 3 picks, they were A-plus selections in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting to see what they did. You know, I know they only had 5 picks, so there's only so much you can do. They just, you know, not touching their strong safety position. I know they added Jimmy Wilson in free agency. And then not addressing the offensive line. They're going into the offensive line with probably Kenny Wiggins as their right guard. I thought that was an area of need that they could have addressed at some point.
Yeah.
So
maybe they did just go best player available, you know, that just,
I mean,
not even worry about need.
Sure. I mean, because other than really running back and even maybe outside linebacker, inside linebacker, cornerback, and defensive tackle weren't big needs for him.
No.
So, well, that does it for the AFC West. Which one of these teams did you think had the best draft?
It's really tough to say. I mean, none of these teams is jump out at you is great. You know, if it wasn't for the Chargers taking Denzel Perryman, I'd say it was them, hands down. But maybe, man, maybe the Chiefs. I mean, you look at them, and they could have gotten four starters. Maybe five. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'd probably say the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think it's between the Chiefs and the Raiders, in my opinion. You know, the Raiders, you know, Cooper, Edwards, Walford, Heaney are all guys I like. Kansas City, you got Peters, who could, you know, might have been a top 10 pick if he didn't have, wasn't such a knucklehead. Morris has upside. Conley has upside. I think it's between those two. I'd probably go with the Raiders just because of Cooper, because of Edwards. I think those two picks one, probably the best 1-2 picks of anybody in this division. Who do you think are the worst between San Diego and Denver, it looks like?
I'm going to say Denver. I like Shane Ray. I like Hyerman. And I like Kilgo, but then I don't like the other guys, so.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I had Denver also as my worst of this division. I mean, they really, you know, I just look at theirs and I think they needed those pieces that are going to get them over the hump. And, you know, Sam Brill's probably going to be the starting right tackle. Hyerman could come in and compete for that starting tight end. Kilgo is a developmental guy. Doss is a developmental guy. And then I thought, you know, Ray's, you know, a rotational guy right now. So
yep.
I thought they definitely could have done better there. All right, well, that wraps us up. Once again, thanks for listening. We'll get this up on iTunes as soon as we can. If you're not a subscriber, look for us to tweet the episode out. Once again, Kyle's at KyleHowell1. I am at BAJohans on Twitter. So check us out. Thanks for listening, and we got our last one coming out soon.